Welcome back, everyone, to a brand new edition of Virtue and Vice right here on the BigVitoBrand.com. Or if you're over on WrestlingWithWrestling.com, it's called Wrestling with Virtue. Robbie Vice, we're back, man. What's up this time?
Well, I thought by now we'd be talking about Retribution and what they want and what they're trying to accomplish. But apparently that's just hit a stall. So I think we're going to talk about that today. I think it's going to come up. But outside of that, man, it's been good. It's a little chilly here in Northeast Ohio the last couple of days, but I kind of dig the fall weather. It reminds me Halloween's coming, even though that we're all trapped inside.
It'll still be fun. I busted out my humidifier with my little Vicks thing. That's what I run all fall and winter in my bedroom when I sleep.
That's a good idea.
Dude, well, before we talk about that, just wrestlers doing things they aren't supposed to. Like, we know, or they shouldn't have to do. Like, Matt Hardy's got hurt a couple times, you know, wrestling Sammy Guevara. The guy from the Viking Raiders or whatever they're called.
Right.
Dude, he does a big guy does a suicide dive and, like, almost breaks his neck or shoulder. Whatever happened. I'm not, you know, I just knew he got hurt. What's up with these injuries? And why do – it's the fans. They want ooh.
Yeah, it's the fans.
I hate it. I want to see – more classic stuff mixed in there. It doesn't all have to be flips and dives. Like, when I watch AEW, I'm sick of Excalibur saying, "Don't be suicida," or this or that suicida. You know, we'll probably get thumbs down for this, but dude, I'm getting sick of it. What do you think?
I think Excalibur is the worst announcer in the business by a lot. But yeah, I think it was Ivar, right? Was it Ivar? Ivan? Ivar? I don't know. Yeah, man, he did. These big guys don't need to be doing dives like that. And it's all because of the fans. You know, back in the day, guys would do risky spots and dangerous things for WrestleMania sellout pay-per-views. But these guys are willing to kill themselves, as we've seen on the internet, in a gymnasium full of eight people. They're jumping off balconies onto concrete floors and cracking their heads. And I do. I think it's fans who have set this expectation now that everyone needs to run, jump, dive, and kill themselves for entertainment. It's like the gladiator games. They just aren't as good.
But the wrestlers keep doing it because they want that pop. Like, they're afraid to try the, you know, other stuff because they don't want to get the Roman Reigns and Jinder Mahal. This is boring treatment.
Exactly. Yeah. But I you know, it's crazy is after that happened, cervical injury too, man, it's super serious. I was like, oh man, this is it. They're going to really calm it down. And the very next night you had, or the very next event we had, it was Keith Lee and the WWE champion Drew McIntyre doing a dive over the top rope again. And these are both gigantic, huge men. I don't know, man. I think it's unnecessary. And it's like the super kicked out. Everyone does it. And it's just, it means nothing to me anymore.
Dude, moving on here. Speaking of Keith Lee, what do you think about him so far in the main roster? Like, I know people have a lot of hype around him, and WWE seems to have made him a little generic, it seems like, and I'm not a big fan of his cadence, the way he talks. It's like he's a Klingon from Star Trek. I mean, I don't know. What's your take? I'm just not buying it right now, but I also feel like they're just not doing justice for a lot of the guys they call up. Matt Riddle. Like, just bring him up and then, just throw him in the mix. No biggie.
So with Keith Lee, I get it. He doesn't just want to be the brute. He wants to have depth to his character. And that's all fine and good at NXT. And for me personally, I like that gimmick. I like what he's doing with that. But at the same time, on the main roster, it's not going to fly until he's established. He's going to be someone that suffers in the same light that Roman Reigns does. He's going to come from NXT. He's going to be the big, giant powerhouse that everyone's cheered for. And eventually they're going to say he's being shoved down our throat until they turn him heel. I feel that in WWE, you are limited to such a bland and strict character until you are turned heel. But sadly, a lot of these guys get pulled out and taken off TV before they even have the chance to do that. So, yeah, it's a very one-dimensional character. I think he has the talent and charisma to make something happen with it. But I feel that it's up and down right now because it's week to week. Some weeks I'm like, what the hell are they doing with this guy? And other weeks I'm like, oh, well, they see him as a future champion. And we'll see what happens, I guess, this coming Monday.
It's the NXT Wrestling Factory, and they don't want anybody to get bigger than the WWE. So everybody's bland and stale unless they want them to be something more. But it really doesn't seem like that happens too often. They all have their little spurts, and then they just fade into obscurity, and some don't even make TV anymore. All right, groups, factions. So I know everybody knows you don't like the Dark Order, and you're still not even sold on him with Brody Lee. Everybody knows, right. You know, I've advocated since Brody Lee's been there, they're way better than they were.
Yeah, but can't I argue that.
Like, what's a faction to you? What should, especially if it's a new and debuting faction, what's your vision of what a good, perfect faction would be? Because we're going to segue to Retribution with this.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad you asked me that. I have a very keen idea of what a faction can be.
Like, I know it's not the Dark Order.
It's not the Dark Order. Okay. It's not a bunch of 300 random indie wrestlers at the end of Raw. It's I want a faction. I expect someone. You need to have a guy that's your talker. He's probably going to be a small guy like Shawn Michaels. I think the original DX, in my opinion, is the staple of what every foundation should be. It's you have your agile talker, charisma guy. You got your muscle kind of like tag team partner guy or whatever. So you have those two that can tag team. They can get their individual titles. And then you have the muscle. You have either Rick Rude or you have that factor like that. Or you can have a manager or something. China. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, China for sure. I think when factions get over three, it's iffy. Evolution pulled it off, even though Ric Flair was like pseudo managing them, pseudo wrestling. But I mean, look at the New World Order, man. When the NWO debuted, it was the biggest thing ever. And then a year and a half later, like 700 people were in the New World Order. And actually there was like four people in WCW left and everyone else was in some form of New World Order on the roster.
Yeah, you hear the music. And then you're like, all right. And then, like, I don't know, Vincent would come out. Virgil.
Yeah, Vincent.
Morris Hogan or whoever was in there. But, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. But that's what I think should be a good faction. What I think a terrible faction idea is having this anonymous Raw GM thing again where we probably know who all these people are. We at least know who's under the mask for the most part from, you know, just looking at them and how Dijakovic hides 0% of his accent when he talks. We know, obviously, that that's the guy. But look, this Retribution faction is just like, I have notes from when I was watching. I have stupid written a couple of times. I said, do they have 30 members now? And the one I have underlined here, it says, this is just a faction to set up a Survivor Series match, get beat, and then disband. That's right. Exactly, yeah.
Retribution is a stupid name. It'd be a stupid pay-per-view name. Like when they went over to England. I don't even know if they ever used it. Here's the thing. You have this group that's causing mischief on all of their shows. But then when it gets time to the pay-per-views, because, you know, they're going to feature Roman's return, they pull them from doing this on every show. And now they're just delegated to Raw because they don't want them to mess with Roman's show. And you just can't go all in at the beginning and then pull them back as to, you know, like, brand specific, and it's just diminished them completely. And
yeah,
now
how does a Rebel faction get brand specific either? Like that isn't that like against the kayfabe gimmick?
Like if it's one of the developmental people, like it's not like, look at what happened with Nexus. They fizzled. Yeah. You need somebody that's been there that wants to rebel against the company, like a Daniel Bryan. Obviously we're never
straight edge society. Yeah,
we're never going to see CM Punk back, but you need somebody like that to be the focal point of that group. And maybe they'll surprise us, probably not. And if you don't, it's just going to be a letdown. It's just a bunch of developmental talent that finally got called up, like you said, and they're going to push them for a Survivor Series match just to job.
Yeah, instead of them wearing the NXT shirts, the Raw shirts, and the SmackDown shirts, everyone will be in their normal attire, and then you'll have Retribution Ninjas. Maybe Retribution and then the Ninjas will team up at Survivor Series.
Dude, and they did that right around the time they were doing the Ninjas.
Like, know, yeah. So they encountered each other, didn't they?
Blowing things up for them, breaking windows.
Throwing molotov cocktails on the top of the building with like no consequences or police presence.
Yeah, like just the way they introduced them, like they didn't know who the market was for these people. Like when Nintendo flubbed the Wii U, people thought it was just the Wii. Even though it's a great system, you got to present something in a cool way. And they're just not doing it with this. Like, I like the Dark Order as it sits with Brody Lee right now better than Retribution. And I think, did you agree with me on that?
No, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, I hated agreeing with it because I talk so much shit about Dark Order. Like, and Brody Lee, for me, it's not doing it because I kind of like his old – I know he's not molded after Bruiser Brody or named after him, but – I know he used to wrestle that kind of style back in the day, and that, I was a fan of that. I just feel like, to quote Jim Cornette, what he's doing in the Dark Order, you're putting a hat on a hat. It doesn't need to be. I think it's a little too over the top just for my taste, but I see why other people like it, because obviously I think Brody Lee's a very talented individual, and I think he's doing the best with his gimmick. But when I first saw him in his ring gear, that all white ring gear, I thought it looked terrible. And my first impression of him was just, and that's, I am a man of hard opinions and I'm stubborn. So that's going to stick with me until I see otherwise, but he does make me laugh. Honestly, I would say Marco Stunt I would put above Retribution. Like, I would watch a 45-minute Orange Cassidy Marco Stunt Iron Man match before I want to watch another Retribution promo, because it's just stupid. I don't care, and it means nothing.
Dude, and so they couldn't have at least made it like Roman and Heyman were behind them,
right?
At least to distract everybody from Roman returning, and then after the fact they could say, well, yeah, we were paid off by Roman Reigns and Heyman, but now we're here to do our thing. At least, yeah. No, they can't even do that, man.
Did you think for a second, now, when they were coming out to attack McIntyre and Keith Lee, a little part of me was like, it would be really cool if Keith Lee just stood there and watched them beat the shit out of Drew and then left with them, you know, and have them all unmask and reveal Keith Lee that we thought this that was a great guy.
That would have been money.
Yeah, because then instantly, all of a sudden, oh, Keith Lee's a heel. We never thought that we would see something like that. And he's in charge of this rebel faction. But instead of that, they decided to limit Retribution to Raw and then have Keith Lee do a dangerous dive that may have paralyzed one of their performers a week prior.
Dude, McIntyre did one too. And here's the worst part about it is you're talking two guys just eliminated 30 Retribution guys and the Hurt Business with a dive. And now your Retribution badasses were all laid out. Like, they talk, like, to me, it's already dead.
And the Hurt Business, like, man. Like, I feel like the Hurt Business is like, it's the closest thing to a real faction that we've had in a long time. I'm a huge fan of everything that's happening with them. Yeah. And yeah, they basically just, and like, it was so confusing too. Are they heels or are they faces? Because they came out and made the save. Why would they come out and attack Retribution?
Maybe they're testing the waters with it, but they look legit.
They look like
Retribution.
MVP. I mean, who would have thought that guy would have just been the catalyst for Bobby Lashley's career? Because this Bobby Lashley is just so different from the Bobby Lashley making the Sami Zayn sister promo or whatever the hell that train wreck was when he came back.
And the Lana stuff he had to go
and
through.
she got powerbombed to the table.
Oh, we'll talk about that. I'm glad we brought that up. That'll be our closer.
Yeah, but... yeah, man, I just think that the direction they're going with all of that is just almost mind-blowing. It's dangerous. It's stupid. And is there really even, like, I know a lot of the diehard marks for AEW, WWE, you know, all of them have it. How many of these diehard WWE apologists, I'll even go as far to call them, are supporting Retribution or excited about this faction?
Maybe 10%.
I mean, it can't be a lot. Like, if there were live fans there, do you think, like, I think this now, when I watch these shows back, do you ever think this? Like, if there was a live crowd, this would get no reaction. There's this, like, when Retribution comes out, it takes too long, no one would care. I feel like it would be crickets.
If they all revealed themselves, maybe the 200 NXT fans in attendance would say NXT, NXT, but, like, that would probably be about it. But yeah, just deplorable group and poor execution by WWE with them. And the name sucks.
Yeah, the name
sucks. Dude, you brought up Lana. And I did. So we know Miro's in AEW now. And he sent out shots and even did it on the Jericho podcast. The first Raw, Lana goes through a table. When was the last time Lana ever went through a table? She might have done something physical like that in the past. Nothing
not
that I
that
can remember.
Stiff.
And by Nia Jax nonetheless. Dude. Talk about petty. Now, she did agree to do it, right? So she's probably like, well, I'm a worker. I can do this. But, you know, her and Nia, you know, all the girls are so chummy backstage, like TikToking and stuff. But, dude, talk about a petty. And Vince Russo and other people, Stevie Richards, they say this goes on there. I know Aaron Rift always scoffs it off. People that don't work there anymore are going to say this. No, this is proof that WWE does petty shit to their talent to get back at them. What do you think on this?
Yes, they have a long history of doing this. Yep. I don't know. Talk to Bret Hart about that, or when they were when what Neidhart and them were trying to get out of their contracts early on, or imagine what they would have done to Dean Ambrose, as he was known as back then, if they knew he was leaving for AEW. There wouldn't have been this big giant farewell. They would have done what they did with FTR and made them shave each other's backs and all that other weird shit they had them do. Like, anyone that really believes that, and Aaron Rives, I would challenge him to do this. I want you to make a list of all of the people that have left the company, and I also want you to list next to it what was their last promote, or what was their last story, what was their last angle before they left. Now, I agree, going out on your back, that's tradition. I think that's a respectable thing, but like, you don't need to go out on your back on a stretcher going to an ambulance because you've been run over by a steamroller that was carrying a pickup truck. Like, I don't know, man. Like, a lot of these guys, it's rough. Like, dude, Eric Rowan, look what they did to Eric Rowan before they released him. He had this big thing, and all of a sudden it was a mechanical spider, and then someone smashed it, and then he was gone forever.
Dude, this is why I don't think Jericho may ever come back to WWE, because he's smart enough now with everything he's done. I don't think McMahon and they might
come back for the Hall of Fame, I think.
Yeah, but like, to work, because I don't think WWE minded the New Japan stuff, but with AEW, I think Jericho knows if he came back, they would bury him. I mean, look what they did with Kurt Angle.
I don't know. It depends. Well, I don't know, because I don't, as much as he says it and as much as I love Triple H, I don't think that him and Jericho have a great history together. No. And I think if Vince is out of the picture someday, I don't know. I think Triple H will work with anyone to make money, but the odds of Jericho holding gold or doing something, I don't know. Dude, Goldberg beat The Fiend. I don't know. I don't know. Anything could happen in WWE.
That's right, and The Fiend really hasn't been the same since. Now, his big storyline is this Alexa Bliss thing, so we'll see. What do you think of that? Will anything come of that? Is this just because of
I hope so.
Time?
I hope she's not actually Sister Abigail. I hope it's more or less that she's just kind of like entranced by The Fiend, and this feud will most likely end with a double turn with them and someone else, I'm guessing. I don't know. It's interesting. It's not like must-see TV. It's fine. And that's probably like the worst place to be in a wrestling angle. Like, I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's like the movie Multiplicity. It's fine. No one talks about it ever again, but you know what I mean? It was like, it was fine.
It does its job. It gets by, but there you have it. I mean, we always cover a lot of topics. Anything else you would like to bring up? It's been a couple weeks since we did a one-on-one show like this.
Roman Reigns is amazing. Him stoically just standing around watching things happen. I like the chief nickname. I like how he says, this is my island. I have, again, some reason I have on here. Why was Viking Raiders doing dives to begin with? I don't even know where that thought came into my head again, way later in Raw.
Cause you're like, it's stupid.
Yeah, it's really dumb. And we didn't really talk about AEW. Is there anything in AEW happening right now that you really liked or didn't care about?
The Miro debut, but dude, Jericho, like, just jobbing to Orange Cassidy, and now him and Hager are a tag team. Like, I feel he needs to get out. I mean, he's collecting a good paycheck. I get it. He's making money. That's what it's all
about. Who's the next champion? Who's the next champion? Who beats Moxley?
Dude, I don't know. I think Moxley.
I think it's Hangman. I think he's going to hold
it. I don't think it's going to be Archer. Is that his name? Lance Archer with Jake, the number one contender? I don't think it's going to be him, but I thought it was going to be MJF. Maybe it still will, but I don't know.
We'll see.
Oh, wait, he can't compete for it still.
If he's a heel, he will.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dusty used to do that shit all the time. Like, and then all of a sudden he'd be a bad guy. He's like, actually, I am getting a title.
We'll see. Right now, Mox is doing pretty good at the top, and they recently went over 1 million viewers, granted unopposed. Hey, but we'll see.
Still a million.
We'll see what happens.
The same audience that watches every week, and
we know it won't be Orange Cassidy or Marco Stunt, though, or Joey Janela,
what?
Or Sonny Kiss. That is the next
champion. It's not going to be 90% of the roster. I'll tell you that much. It's going to be one of like three people, and that would be Cody Rhodes, Miro. Maybe, I guess. I don't really know how they're going to do anything with him.
Yeah, I don't like they're bringing him in with Kip Sabian. Who's Kip Sabian? Come on. Miro deserves better than that, but I'm going to give it time.
I think the best man gimmick sounds dumb, but my best friend Steve thinks it's hilarious and he loves it, so I'll have to wait and see.
I'm going to give it time. We'll see what happens. But that's all I got, man. We're about our 20-minute mark. We got there. So with that said, you want to do your plug?
I don't do plugs anymore. I don't want people following me. I don't think they deserve it. But if people ever do want to follow anyone, they should really just follow you. Follow Andre Corbeil. Follow Noel. Follow Vito. Follow NoDQ. But leave me alone. I don't care about your opinions. So.
Well, his Twitter is at NoDQ Vice, by the way. Mine is at NoDQ underscore Virtue. And you can also go to my Facebook page, NoDQ.com/Virtue with the lowercase v. But that's it for Virtue and Vice, or also Wrestling with Virtue. Right here on the BigVitoBrand.com and WrestlingWithWrestling.com. That is Robbie Vice. I am Virtue. Thank you for watching. And we'll be back eventually.
Someday. See ya.